we all know that when it comes to looking at the nature of a reflector, that a reflector by its very nature is extraordinary. They are not that small a minority. Based on our statistics, there's nearly 100 million of them in the world, so that's a lot of people. They are very different. And they're very different because they give off an illusion when you look at their design that has nothing to do with who they are. Nothing at all. It is not even fair to say that they are chameleons or that they are actors, because in fact they require no masks in that sense. When you study human design and you look at open centers, you're automatically struck by the power of not-self strategies and the way in which they operate. And then you look at a reflector and you see all of those open centers and you think, oh my goodness, you know, here is a being that has, according to human design, no inner authority, no reliable inner authority in their process. Here's a human being that has 9 open centers. They must have a mind that is just totally, totally cranked up and absorbed in the not-self domain. They must be deeply vulnerable to the conditioning of others, and so forth and so on. And all of that is an illusion. It's just an illusion. I have an interesting connection with reflectors because I'm a manifester. And manifestors and reflectors have similar kinds of auras, in a way. That is, neither manifester nor reflector is comfortable with allowing any aura to absorb it. And so there is a certain commonality in the way in which the auric fields operate. And what is so clear to me about what happens to a reflector when they meet the other is that they don't meet the other like anybody else. That is, they certainly don't meet the other the way I do. I have definition. And the moment you have definition, the very counterpoint, you know, that very counterpoint of having no definition makes you totally different. I mean, reflectors are quite alien to the rest of us because they don't operate in the same way. Now, I mentioned that they have something in common with manifestors. And what they have in common is a quality that is basically called trust. The manifestor child comes into the world, and the parents automatically don't trust it. That is, they know, because it can operate independently, that they're going to have to control it. When a reflector child comes into the world, the parents instantaneously don't touch it, don't trust it, because they can't touch it. I mean, they can't touch it. You know, this is the thing that makes reflectors so different, is, you know, it's like one of these science fiction movies where you've got these spaceships and they've got protective shields. You know, you can't see them. You know, it's not like you can see them. They just got this kind of very stiff aura around them that takes any kind of hit on the outside, but it barely does anything on the inside but create a kind of little rumble or a bit of a noise here and there. Well, you know, when reflectors are walking in the world, they're wearing a shield. And they're wearing that shield, and the whole thing about that shield is that the technology of that shield is directly related to other human auras. In other words, it's directly related to the other types. But it's not related at all to the program. Very interesting about comparisons between defined and undefined. You know, if you follow my daily transits and you've got definition and I'm talking about something that's activating your definition, there's very, very little impact. There's very little impact. There's a bit of a taste that might be added to what is already there, but there's very little impact because in a sense it is blocked off. And basically what you're looking at in terms of the reflector is that the reflector, in the way in which its shields operate, is that it basically blocks off human conditioning, but it can't block off the program. You know, in this very first illustration, is simply a reminder of the relationship between the reflector and the moon. But oh boy, is that a bitch. I mean, that's not something easy to deal with. I mean, when you think about the way time works for us, the vast majority of human beings are in a hurry. I mean, they're in a hurry because the life is short and it goes fast, and sooner than you know it, it's just done. So we have this concern about lost time and what we've missed and what we could miss and all those other things. And most of that has to do with the fact that the majority of the planet are energy types, and energy types are on the move. You know, they are eating up time, if you will. But there are variations. You know, you have emotional beings who, you know, can't afford to eat up time. You got emotional beings that have to sit on their wave and they have to wait for the clarity to come. So it changes the way time works for them, because in fact, if you look back in your memory, time is only one decision to the next. It isn't anything else. And of course, for the emotional being, while they're waiting in their wave, waiting to make a decision that they cannot make in the now, that there is in all that waiting a sense of, and this is their mind, that something's going to be missed. And there is suffering because there is a frequency that has to be obeyed. And we well know that most not-self beings will not put up with that very long. They will simply explode one way or another. But when we come to the reflector lives in a time zone all their own. All their own. It is a lunar cycle time zone. It means that the decision-making process is something that has to be compressed out of a 28-day cycle. Think about that. If we remember our time from decision to decision, you know, there is all of this movement that has to take place for the reflector before any decision can be made. And of course, this is so difficult. It's so difficult. It's tough to wait 28 days. It really is. You know, this is not the kind of thing that human beings are good at. They're not good at it at all. And everything about, you know, today and this discussion is not about changing anything. This is the cycle for a reflector. But it's about giving the reflector an opportunity to recognize its basic duality, its relationship to the program, and the very nature of its aura, and the way in which its aura works. And that in understanding those two things and putting them together with color is the ability on a day-by-day basis to be able to align themselves to what is correct for them while they move through the cycle. See, I've given so many different kinds of descriptions of what the reflector really is. You know, I began with the canary in the cage in the old coal mines. You know, the reflector was the most sensitive to the environment, and as such, you know, that canary would sense if there were any toxic gases and would sacrifice itself for the benefit of everyone else. But, you know, if you keep on hammering that same metaphor, it gives one a sense of the potential victimization of reflectors, and they're not here to be victims. But it was a way of illustrating the relationship between the reflector and the program. You know, if I had an ideal of the demographics to my daily description of the neutrino field on radio, that about 60% of the audience should be reflector. I mean, about 60%. Obviously, that's enormously disproportionate to their percentage of the population. Because you see, where the reflector is confused by others is the assumption that they operate integratively the same way with other human beings, and they don't. But they operate in a way with the program that human beings do not. You see, they never have a definition that blocks off the program in that sense. And they have no way in terms of the way in which their shielding works, because their shielding is simply about aura. It is not about the direct neutrino feed. And what they receive from the transiting program is this is what they're here for. This is who they're here to integrate with. They're here to integrate with the larger whole. You see, it's not for a reflector to be conditioned in terms of how they're going to live their day-to-day life by the people that are around them, because that's not successful. They are less likely to be conditioned by somebody else, despite electromagnetic attractiveness, than they will be by a planet going by, hitting a harmonic to one of their hanging gates. That planet is going to have 6, 7, 8 times more power in their life, in that place, than any possible human being that could come with the same activation. You see, basically, one has to be careful about terminology. They basically are priests, in a sense. And I don't mean that in the religious sense. I mean that in the kind of people that stood on the top of old pyramids and figured out what the sky was saying. You know, this is a different kind of relationship. They're designed to commune with the gods. Now, of course, you know, I do enjoy calling the planets gods. However, no one is better equipped to embrace the gods and to be one with the gods than a reflector. You see, their relationship is not one that is mundane. They are not here to have a relationship with other human beings in the way that other types do. Now, obviously, that brings some difficulties into their life. It does. But again, most of those difficulties are simply a matter of, well, you know, not operating correctly. And you see, for a reflector to operate correctly is not a matter of waiting from 128 cycle to another. It isn't. It can't be. It's too difficult. It's too difficult. You see, there's not enough reflector knowledge yet on the planet. There's not enough reflectors who have the knowledge yet to be able to grasp what it is they are here to do in their process. In their process. You know, the awakening of a reflector is very, very different than the awakening of any of the other types. It is not an awakening to self. It is not an awakening to the other. Those things are not the point. It is an awakening to one's connection to the whole. To the whole. Now, obviously, that can lead to all kinds of spirituality, religiosity, on and on and on. But remember, speaking from just mechanical language, this is simply about being attuned to the environment, the programming environment. See, reflectors are here to be living examples, in that sense, of the embodiment of the program. Take this in as an image. Every moment of every day, there are all kinds of human beings that are incarnating. And they incarnate carrying the program of the moment. And all over the planet, there's about 100 million reflectors that take these new lives in whole. Whole. As they're coming through. Think about that. Now, yes, each and every one of us, you know, we take in aspects of the program all the time, but we have definition. We have our prejudices due to our definition. You know, we have our dilemmas with our not-self. We're not reflectors. We're not reflectors at all. See, reflectors are taking in the program, are embodying the program on a day-to-day basis. And you see, when I talk on the neutrino forecast, and I warn 99%, actually 98.5% of humanity, beware of the program, that does not apply to reflectors. It doesn't. You know, reflectors are here to embrace the program. Think about what correctness is for a reflector. Correctness for a reflector is being conditioned by the program. Think about that. It's the complete opposite of everything we understand about the other types, about the vast, vast majority of humanity. It's always been so difficult for me to teach about the reflector until I had this kind of environment where I can do these kind of selected things. Because as you can see, there is not the interest. And the reflectors themselves don't get it because they're so deeply caught up in the fact that they're being punished in their life and victimized in their life because they don't have the same quality of social interaction as others. And they don't. But it's not a fault. It's not what they're here for. It is not their primary, their whole primary programming. A reflector is here to live out the program. And if you're a reflector, then you should be living out the 3313 right now. You know, living out this ability to articulate, being slightly narrow. You know, you don't want to hear this one, but you'll listen to that one. Now, you don't want to deal with this one, you'll listen to that one. Whatever it is in the program, if that's coming out of you as a reflector, you're being correct. You're being correct. And you see, in that process, there is a way of aligning yourself in that process. See, there's all kinds of surrender. See, if you're any of the other types, you have to surrender to your strategy and authority. You have to. If you're a reflector, you have to surrender to the program. It's all program. Starting with the moon. It's all program. And you see, if you surrender to the program, because each and every human being is truly unique, you get your special, unique relationship out of that program. And that while you're going through that 28-day cycle, there's no need for you to wonder whether being pulled along by the program is something that is positive. See, if you see a reflector and they're operating correctly and they're taking in the program, every human being can see the face of conditioning embodied in someone. And the reflector is the only one who really knows what the weather is. You know, these are our weather persons. They're the environmental weather people. If you, like the canaries, if you watch a reflector who is simply just absorbed in the program, you know, you'll see very clearly what the program is. You just will. You'll see the direction we are being taken in. And for them, I mean, this is the way. The aura. You know, when you're dealing with the aura of a reflector, it is called a resistant aura. So you can see this red slash mark, my shield that I was talking about. You know, you can see this line that is drawn in the sand, so far, no further. You know, this is the boundary. And because it is resistant, it means that at the personal level, there is all this pressure that is placed on projectors, on reflectors. All this pressure. You know. See, the energy types lump together all non-energy types as projectors. And the one thing that an energy type likes about a non-energy type, quote unquote, the projector, is that the projector is interested in them. And of course that's true. This is the projector. They're interested in the other. There's more projectors here in this room than there are reflectors. They're interested in the other. So when an energy type meets a reflector, they're surprised. They're often upset. They're not interested in me. They're not. You know? They expect that interest to be there. It is not there. See, the reflector aura samples. It takes just a touch of the other. No more. No more. It isn't to say that when you see a reflector with somebody else and you're doing a composite chart, because I can hear the question coming, you know, that they don't activate it. Yes, of course they do. This is just simple basic mechanics, but it's very important to understand something. It has a very, very minimal effect, and in terms of conditioning, it is nowhere as powerful as the same activations coming from the planets. And this is the difference. See, the reflector has no way to protect itself from the daily program. So in fact, more than any other creature on this planet, they are designed to be deeply impacted by the program. Sun worshippers, actually. You know. I mean, it may be that the reflector cycle is ruled by the moon, you know, but they are focused on the neutrino field. It is what they're here to take in. They're here to take in the primary programming information. See, reflectors have a different calendar than the rest of us. I mean, reflectors have a calendar that is really deeply, deeply connected to the transiting field. It's deeply connected to it. You know, the reflector day, the movement of a sun through a gate. You know, how significant that is. The reflector week, the movement of the sun, you know, pardon me, the first one was a line, the day. You know, the reflector week, the rave week, you know, how long it takes the sun to go through the six lines, go through the full hexagram, just about 6 days. You know, 384 of those days in a year. Every four hexagrams is another reflector month. It's all patterns for them because they're connected to the pattern. No one, you know, when we talk about education in human design, you know, when you get to non-energy types and you get to projectors are deeply encouraged to study the system so that they can master the system because that is their nature. But you know, the same thing is not true for reflectors. What is true for reflectors is that they need to master the understanding of the program, period. Just the program. The real grounding for me after my experience was that obviously I was given information. There was no way that I could know that this was just not nuts. I had to look at it from the point of view of, you know, how can I test it? What can I verify? And I've described this many times with my open emotional system. I simply watched the moon and waited for the moon to activate my emotional gate, see what would happen, see what would happen when definition would come and so forth and so on. Because of the way I lived in those days, the way in which my mind was focused, it got to a point that I was, I used to call it hearing the door open and close. You know, I could feel the movements. I could feel the gates opening and closing. I could feel the planets. This is what a reflector is here to live. You know, all of you, since you enter into human design and become aware of the way your openness is impacted by others, you learn to recognize that aura impact the moment you meet it. Somebody steps into your aura, bang, you know, you notice that. Well, the reflector is here to notice the program in that way and the shifts of the program in that way and to ride its wave. I mean, the reflector is here to be one with the program, not the other, and you can see that in this illustration. You know, because this is not what it is about for them. See, genetically, in that sense, you know, they have a limitation in terms of how impactful the other can be in their lives. They're different. They're different. And there is no knowing them in that way. You know, they are the program. So there's a cycle to what they are, year after year. But you see, there is a mystery behind that. You know, there is their passenger, their witness consciousness that watches their life. You know, this is the aspect, you know, that is exalted in that process. You know, to be able to see more than anything else, to be able to see precisely where we are going on a day-by-day basis. You can feel the world. They're here to feel the world. They're here to experience the program. Nobody else. And you see, humanity needs that. I mean, everything about the way in which we operate is that we operate through our nodes and we operate through environments. And we operate through environments that are conditioned by the program. And it's only the reflectors that are here to understand what kind of conditioning forces are really at work, because they are it. They're here to experience it. So we're going to take a look at my favorite reflectors these days. I've been using H.G. Wells and my HDA courses, so I guess I'll just stay with that. A couple of things to grasp in this. You know, a reflector's chart is laid out in the same context as everybody else's. So there is no inner authority. It's not there. But the key is this disappointment. This disappointment. A reflector isn't here to follow others. They're here to follow their soul. Now, I know that sounds rather wishy-washy or new-agey or bunny language, but in a sense, that's really what it's about. The great disappointment for reflectors is when they put their faith in the other. You know, this is the great disappointment that awaits all reflectors, because sooner or later that is something that is going to hurt them. You know, they are here to embrace what is a larger force in their life. That's just what they're here for. And of course, the moment that they are on that mundane plane, that's when the disappointment arises. The moment that the conditioning of the people around them is stronger than the conditioning of the program, you know, that's the moment that, well, truly the reflector becomes lost. They're not here to reflect you and I. They only sample it. And what they're really sampling is to see how much of the program you've taken in. Because after all, it's not good for you. You know, what's good for them isn't good for you. You know, they can carry it inside them and it's perfect. You carry it inside you and you're lost in the not-self. And you see, at some point down the road, they're the ones that will be able to so easily recognize it on a day-to-day basis. You know, to be able to walk up to somebody, you know, hearing their conversation and say, you know, you're just talking program right now. Because that's what I sound like right now. And I'm the program. It's rather amazing. And you see, we still do not have not a population of reflectors that is educated enough and sensitive enough to actually understand what they're here for, to even begin to experience what they're here for. And instead, what we have is their disappointment. And something to think about: they are reflectors. It's not their disappointment. It's the disappointment of the other that they have to meet. The other being disappointed that the reflector is not a projector. You know? I mean, it is disappointment. And you see, the moment that that is what you're taking in from the outside, you know, that's the moment for the reflector that this begins to build up if they are not operating correctly. Okay, so we have Mr. Wells's chart here. Color. I guess color is probably the most extraordinary tool for liberating the mind. I mean, it's not about liberating the body. You could liberate your body by following your strategy and authority. But you see, to follow your strategy and authority, particularly for non-energy types, is often very difficult. It's not so easy to use your strategy. You don't always have an authority. So it becomes a process that, you know, from moment to moment, from those moments where, aha, I have an invitation, or aha, you know, I've got my chance, that in those moments everything can seem that you're operating correctly, but by the time you get to the point of wherever it is it's taking you, it turns out to have been a mistake. You know, there is so much that can be conditioned. There is so much that can move you away from what you are. Here is where color is of enormous benefit, because what color represents is our underlying motivations. What moves us? And what moves our personalities are what we're going to be looking at today. Because you see, what the reflector needs more than anything else is something that keeps it honest to its process, a tool that it can use to make sure that, you know, it knows that it is operating correctly, regardless of where it is in its lunar cycle, regardless of what is happening in its relationship to the other. And to know that it's operating correctly is just about sensitivity to certain keys. Now, everything about the nature of color is that color is something that is unstable. It's unstable. In other words, the motivations that we all have, the motivations that lie beneath the line of your profile, you know, those motivations that are there, that they are never really consistent. They don't hold there. And the only thing that keeps holding them there is every time that you align yourself to what is correct. But their tendency is always to transfer. Now, of course, the transference itself is a harmonic process. That is, you know, the 1-4-2-5-3-6 relationships that are there in this 6 structure, these harmonies. So if you're a 4, you know, you transfer to the 1. If you're a 1, you transfer to the 4. Now think about it. You know, if you come into the world and you're here to be driven, motivated by needs, it is very different than being motivated by fear. But fear is where you end up being motivated all the time because of the transference. As long as you're not operating correctly, then your color is always transferring. Always. Which means that the way in which you move towards anything is incorrect. More than that, it allows you to grasp something very, very special, a deep recognition of the impact of the other. Because you see, the other, the way most others affect us, is that they move us away from what is our natural motivation. You know, the moment that you're in any kind of relationship that is simply incorrect, you know, then you're going to be in a relationship in which your motivation isn't going to operate correctly. You may be with somebody who is constantly pulling you to the transference of what is correct for you. And that when we're using color transference as a way to understand one's alignment or one's correctness, we're going to look at that in two ways. We're going to look at it in terms of the way in which it impacts our profile and the way in which it impacts our nodes. And this is about being and seeing. So the way you're going to be in this life, you're intended to be motivated in a certain way. As long as you can recognize that that is your driving motivation, then you're going to be healthy in that sense, in the way in which you're going to be in this life. And the nodes are the seeing. You see, seeing is so subjective. If your seeing is conditioned by fear, then you're going to see very different things than if your seeing is conditioned by need. You're looking for different things. And so you don't end up seeing what's there for you to see. You don't end up being what's there for you to be. You don't. I mean, it's not a big question if you're a generator, as an example, has the opportunity to be able to operate, you know, continuously through their response mechanism. But this knowledge for projectors and reflectors is absolutely essential for their well-being, because it gives them something to align to. It gives them a way of seeing during those gaps in their strategy authority process whether they're on the right track and whether or not there are forces in their life that are positive for them or negative. And oh, how different it is for them then. Because the mind has something to work with. It has something to look out for. It has something to watch for. All right. So here I'm going to take you to the chart now. I've laid this chart out. And you can see on the far right, we've got a Sun, Earth. This is somebody born in the cross of the vessel. This is somebody's got their Sun in 46-1, their Earth in 25-1, and they have a second color personality. You can also see that their North Node, South Node, the 25-5, 46-5, so you've got a very strong relationship between the Sun, Earth, and the nodes. But you can also see that here with the nodes, you've got a sixth color that is at work. Let's talk about the being itself. All right, so when you're looking at the 2-5 relationship, you're looking at the difference between hope and guilt. Now that, just the language of that is enough to give somebody a sense of large difference. Okay, let's think about it. Here's this reflector. They're here to be hopeful. They're here to be driven by hope. You know, they're 46, you know, they're 25, they're innocence, they're, you know, they're serendipity, you know, they're the way they look at things happening in the moment, all of this stuff, they're full of hope. That's what they're supposed to be. Full of hope. Now when you're full of hope, you know, the way in which you're going to be is very, very different than when you're full of guilt. You know? Because when you're full of guilt, you're always looking for who to blame and who not to blame. What to change. You know, what to condition, what not to condition. If you're there in hope, you know. There you are with your potential of deep theism. You can be an anti-theist, just as hopeful. You know, there's no God, but who cares? Everything's okay. And you see, as this reflector is going through their process, if they lose their hope, they're not correct. It's that simple. I mean, it's that simple. Think about that. All right, so let's imagine what happens to them in their life. They're very hopeful. They get up in the morning, you know, they're driven by hope. There's always a better day. Tomorrow can always be better. Something good can always happen. And they go out the door and they meet somebody who carries the fifth color. Or they meet somebody who's got a very strong fifth line profile. Because remember, lines and colors are connected through resonance and harmonies. They're immediately pulled to the five. Immediately pulled to the guilt. Pulled away from the hope. And it's gone. And the moment that they're pulled away, and the moment that they lose their hope, is the moment that they lose their correctness. I mean, this is what they're all about. See, they don't have anything else that they can really rely on. They don't. They don't. Here's somebody who's a 1-3 profile. That investigator. You know, that hopeful investigator. Not an investigator that is conditioning. Not an investigator that is being conditioned. You know, this is a hopeful investigator. Very different. And of course, where that leads to is going to be different than what it would be if one was pulled constantly into the transference. So you see, there's a way. It's what I, you know, it's why I'm doing this whole transformational series, because this is a way for so many people who need to have for their mind, not the body. You know, anybody that follows the physical strategies for the vehicle in human design, they're going to end up with a life with less resistance, and it's going to be a better life for them. That's just obvious. That's a basic. But it doesn't mean that their mind's awake. It doesn't mean their mind is surrendered or liberated. It doesn't. We all know that. The not-self is powerful. It doesn't. This is for the mind. This is an intellectual awakening tool for the mind. To keep the mind honed in, and to keep it honed in on what it needs to focus on. See, if you're a reflector, your motivation is one of the few things that's really yours. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And the moment that they take you away from what is yours, then you know that you've got the wrong people in your process. I mean, we well know that, you know, for reflectors specifically, and for anyone with an open G, how important it is to be in the right place. That the right place means everything. And the right place for a reflector is a place that will come out of its hopefulness and through which it will remain hopeful. You know, that's the only way that it can work. And so you see, the moment that you're looking at color, and the moment that you're looking at the color of the sun Earth, you're looking at one of the most important tools for aligning yourself to what is correct on a day-to-day basis. And you see, if you align yourself correctly to your motivation, everything else will fall into place. Everything else. You know, I was in a casual conversation with somebody who had one of these color transference readings of mine, talking about how impactful it was. I said, to me, it reminds me of the value and the ease of with which a generator has access to response. In other words, this kind of tool that, you know, somehow can be shared with non-energy types, this kind of moment-by-moment way of aligning oneself to what is correct. And it is the real beauty of this. See, the dilemma for the reflector is not to be concerned about the conditioning of others. It isn't. They're here to absorb the conditioning of the program. But they still have to be correct within themselves. They still have to make major decisions in their life on that 28-day lunar cycle. They still have to follow their mechanics. But you see, if they're aligned to the correct motivation as they go through the wheel, being aligned to their correct motivation will eliminate the mental dilemma of wondering whether they're right or wrong, or, you know, whether this is good or bad, or all the other things that the mind is going to get into. See, remember the aura. This is a resistant sampling aura. You know, they are very much isolated within the context of the program, and they're isolated in relationship to the other because they have a narrow relationship to the other. It becomes extraordinarily important for reflectors to operate out of the correct motivation. You know, this is one of those things that grounds them. You know, hopefully, years from now, when the, presumably like everything else in design, the reflector population grows, in terms of those that are interested in the knowledge, that we'll eventually get around to, you know, seeing the byproduct of this kind of relationship to the whole. And the value of them being able to align themselves just to know who has a right to be in their life. You see, if you have those forces in your life that bring out, you know, your motivation, they're of enormous benefit to you. I mean, that is as positive a force as you can have around you. Because as a reflector, this is one of those truly stabilizing aspects of your nature. You know, to be able to hold to that in this context, you know, to be able to hold to one's hope. You know, and if you have those forces in your life who are coming up to you and saying to you, yeah, I think it's going to be great too, and be positive with you in that sense and encourage you in that sense, you know, those are forces that are correct for you. You know, and if you have those forces that in your life that try to smash your hope, it's just so obvious. I mean, it's just so obvious. And of course, sometimes it's rather subtle. And how do they try to do that? They try to do that by making you feel guilty. By conditioning you. You know, by moving you away from what is correct for you. To be hopeful. To live your life as a hopeful being. Despite what there is around you. See, motivation is this extraordinary key that opens up this door. Now, obviously, if you're, you know, looking at the reflector coming into the world, you can see that there is a fundamental dilemma in the way they come into the world. All the pressure on them is social pressure. I mean, it's social pressure. You know, it's this concern that arises in their families, their parents, you know, that there seems to be this distance that can be there between them and the other. There are all these social concerns about them. And of course, none of that does any good for the reflector. It just leads the reflector to begin early in life to be disappointed in that sense with the other. And yet at the same time, because they are open, you know, they have to have a purpose in this life that is a process that they go through. This is the alignment with the program. You know, this is the alignment with the fundamental conditioning that is there for them. I mean, the only thing where humans are truly important for them are those moments that open up the possibilities for them to launch into their strategy and an important decision-making process in their life, whether that's about love or career or schooling or whatever it has to be. You know, that those moments are something that need to be triggered by the right forces in their life. But the rest of it? See, they have the world to explore within themselves, sampling everything in relationship to themselves in the moment. There is no greater, more extraordinary existential being on this planet than a reflector. I mean, they are the embodiment of the existential moment-by-moment-by-moment program. I mean, they are the expression of the gods. They are the temple. They are the oracle. They are the voice of all of that. I mean, this is what they're doing every day in their lives. And one of the real confusions that we have in analysis is this confusion that, you know, the forces of connection between the reflector and other types are given too much value. And not enough value is given to transit. You know, if you want to see what your reflector friend is going to be like on any given day, just look at the program. That's all you have to do. Oh yes, they will bring a nuance to it, no question about it. After all, they have all of those dormant hanging gates waiting to demonstrate what is their unique take, if you will, on the program. Remember the wisdom. It's about wisdom in the end. No other type has such a extraordinary potential for wisdom than the reflector. We know this to be the basic program. That is, the open center is a conditioning center, and the moment that you're not disturbed by it is a conditioning center. It opens up a possibility of being wise in the way in which those things operate. Obviously, looking at any reflector is looking at the potential of being deeply wise, and wise in the way of the world, in the way of the world. See, there's so much for them to take in. And the only thing missing is stability. It's just stability. You know, it looks like there's this constant shifting, but there isn't. Because underneath is something that's solid and consistent, moment by moment. And that's the way that they were designed to be motivated in this life. You know, nothing touches that. That is their underlying, you know, continuum. So when we talk about, you know, the reflector process, how absolutely essential this is for the reflector to grasp. In other words, to simply be able to see, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. You know, you look at what your profile is, and you look at the color, and you look at the transference. And then you can tell. And you can tell right away. You can. You know, it doesn't matter what your binary is. You know, what your color is, what the transference goes to. You'll see immediately all around you the forces in your life that bring this side or that side. And you'll know right away. You know, this is the joy when the mind finally gets something really interesting to think about. Eh? The veils start to drop. You know, and then you look out in the world and you see the world differently. You also see something else. For a reflector, color is an anchor. It's an anchor. You know, you can throw it over the side and it'll hold you in place. And this is the most magical thing for a reflector about color. Right? You know, this color gives you a stability that you don't have on the surface. You don't. Can't see it on the surface. On the surface, it's all reflection. But just below the surface of the line, there is this continuity that is there. And this is a place where the reflector can go in all of that instability of the changing phases of the moon. They can go to that place, and if they're correct in that place, everything else is just fine. Color. All right, now we're going to take a shift and take a look at the nodes for a moment. The nodes are really extraordinary things. They so much are a part of the way in which we feel about the life we live in. You know, we look out at the world in a certain way, each and every one of us. It's these slices of the world. You know, I've talked about it, these 32 polarities, these 32 different nodal polarities that, you know, there's 32 ways to look at the world. And, you know, the way you look at the world is very important because this is how you're aligned to your purpose. In other words, the way the world in which you get to fulfill your being is through the correct world of seeing. And seeing the world correctly is something that's very important. And again, we're dealing with the same kind of phenomena. That is, you know, when we look at any other kind of type and we want to discuss the nodes, before we can even get to the question of looking at underlying themes of motivation, we're dealing with other potentials, the potential that the nodes are part of definition, that they may be in a split, they may be hooked up emotionally, whatever the case may be. In other words, we have a lot of criteria that we have to deal with primarily, and there's many different ways in which we would analyze that based on the way those configurations operate and their influence. But again, when you're dealing with a reflector, again, you're dealing with something that is very different in the way in which it works. And that, as I've described to you, that, you know, being able to look at the profile color and understand that this is the underlying, you know, continuity for a reflector in terms of their life, in terms of their being, that when you're looking at the nodes for a reflector, it is essential for them to align themselves to the correct vision. It's like if I can put it this way, it's like with the whole business of place. You know, if you're in the right place, you have a certain view. I mean, it's just the way that it works. And to really understand that for a reflector, the right place, the right view, the right way of looking at the world is essential, because that's what they're here to experience. And they're here to experience through their 1/32nd of the way in which we see. They're here to experience the world, the environment, within the context of that environment. As you well know, I describe the nodes as an environment, the nodal environment, the background upon which life is lived out. So how you see the world is something that is essential. And this is, you know, this is a bedrock in that sense for the reflector. So let's take a look at the example that we have here, and we can see that, you know, we have a six-color theme. If we look at the sixth color, we're looking at innocence. We're looking at the observer observed. And, you know, this is one of the things about the inherent aloofness that is there in six-line genetic continuity. When you're dealing with a reflector who's going to carry sixth color, it is actually quite a natural color for them. There is a basic aloofness to their resistant aura and the way in which they sample things. There's also an aloofness in that they're here to be programmed in a sense directly by the forces, the gods, whatever you want to call it, where everyone else filters it through the complexities of their definition. So the innocent aspect here of seeing, you know, just seeing life as an observer, just watching, you know, and watching without, you know, it having this quantum. In other words, just the watching, or in the absence of just the watching, that while one is just watching, one is also just being seen in that sense. There is no guile, if you will, in the innocence of this motivation. However, you can see right away what transference will do. You know, the moment you have transference, you go from innocence to desire. What a difference there is between, you know, seeing a world where everything is desire, seeing an environment that is conditioned by desire, seeing the world only in terms of leaders and followers, instead of seeing the world in terms of observers and observed. It's totally different. And you see, if you're not looking at the world the way you're intended to see it, well, there's so many things for you that are simply not there. You're going to meet disappointment. You're going to meet disappointment out of the transference, because the transference is going to move you in the wrong direction. You know, we in that sense, the mind in that sense, you know, it interprets the whole of its world by the slice that it sees. That life is nothing but desire, that the world is a place of nothing but desire. Well, that's okay if that's your motivation. I mean, I've got a third color personality. You know, I understand what all that is about. And I remember what it was like when I was always incorrect and I was always professing to be innocent. You know? Who, me? I didn't do anything. You know? But in fact, I was doing. You know, there was all that stuff that was getting done. And my way of getting away from being me was to move towards innocence. You know, and then I was in transference, and then I wasn't operating correctly, because I couldn't operate correctly. You know, if you are not operating out of the right motivation, you are not going to operate correctly. And of course, when you're dealing with the basic majority of types, you know, the fact that they are able to, you know, operate consistently with their strategies and authority, this does not become an enormous dilemma. But for projectors and for reflectors at a much greater degree, you know, to be aligned to your motivation, you know, this is the thing that is really going to make a difference in your life. It just is. And you see, this way of seeing, I mean, we all, you know, every single one of us have to deal with that. You know, you and I, with our different nodes, we look at the same thing and we see it differently. And of course, we're supposed to see it differently. But, you know, we need to see it differently with the correct motivation. And only then can we share what we see ourselves with the other. You know, only then can we really get a composite, you know, that demonstrates to us the nature of the world. But a reflector is here to integrate seamlessly with their environment. Seamlessly. You know, it's like that, what was that? I don't know, I think it was the last James Bond movie. Had this wonderful car that could disappear. You know, and it was sort of just a trick with lights and cameras, but nonetheless, it could disappear. It could fade into the environment. And you see, this is one of the deepest gifts inherent in the reflector, you know, is to be able to fit into the environment and in that sense disappear. You know, and disappear not in the sense that they are no longer involved and active and whatever, you know, but they're exactly the way they should be and where they should be. And through that, they get to fulfill their purpose. I mean, you know, here is somebody that came into the world, this charred vessel of love, and, you know, with a 46-1, and being, you know, being in the right place, you know, the serendipity of the beauty of the existential experience. You know, here is the potential to really demonstrate one's true connection to the whole. But again, to do so, you know, to be able to live out that potential, you know, that this is someone, because they are a reflector, that what happens between the 28 days of the decision-making process, what happens between all of those days, between those moments where big decisions are worthy of their strategy, if they are not motivated correctly, if they don't see the world the way they're intended to, if they're not operating, being in this life, driven by the forces that are correct for them, it doesn't matter about those moments where they can make a decision. Everything in between becomes uncomfortable, becomes uncertain, you know, can become threatening. Remember, they're not well understood. It's very difficult to live in this world and not have the same kind of, you know, aura as a generator. Well, I know. Generator comes into the world, you know, they've got an enveloping aura, you know, they're pumping it out with this huge motor, they surround you with their aura, they assume everybody is supposed to be like that. And they're very uncomfortable when you're not. When you're not. You know, only projectors and generators have what is in fact a true auric relationship to each other. And manifestors and reflectors are on the outside of the game. And reflectors are even further on the outside. And it makes it difficult because they are not understood. You know, so that the pressures are always applied to them in the wrong way. And there is always these concerns about them socially, which has nothing to do with them. I mean, most of the complaints that people have about reflectors, and God knows people have complaints about reflectors, most of those complaints are actually just sour grapes. Because they can't get in the door. Because the reflector aura doesn't let them in. And you see, this is something that auras don't like. You know? I mean, when you consider the fact that generators with their enveloping aura and projectors with their focused aura, you know, that they represent almost 90% of humanity, they don't like meeting auras that are not welcoming. And I don't mean that, you know, that's conscious in them, as if to say, you know, that they're sensitive enough to even be aware of that. What they're aware of is that they don't seem to have the same connection. I mean, my concern for reflectors is always in their families when they're young. You know, there's all this pressure on them socially, you know, that, you know, that there's always this attempt to try to integrate them socially in ways that are just don't work. I mean, they don't work. You know, this is not what they're about. They're about integrating with the environment. And if there happen to be people in the environment, well, that's okay. But it's not the point for them. And, you know, if you're dealing with a reflector that is a lower trigram, you know, right angle cross profile, you know, then you're dealing naturally with a very self-absorbed being who is naturally intended to be absorbed in themselves as a reflector. You know, it's interesting. You know, generators are described as the type that must know themselves. You know, the old know thyself story. And the interesting thing about a reflector in comparison is that a reflector actually has a deeper need to know itself, but not itself. It's a deeper need to know itself in the program. In the program. See, this surrender to the program, but you can only surrender to the program as a reflector, you know, if A, you're operating correctly. That is, that you are, you know, making those decisions, you know, over a proper cycle, that you're aligned to your motivation. And remember, it doesn't mean that you're always hopeful. There's always going to be forces pulling you away, and color naturally transfers. And once you understand, as in this example, that hopefulness is a key for you, you can recover it when it's lost. You can, because it's the most natural thing for you to be hopeful. Natural. And you see, this is just a mind exercise to connect the passenger mind of the reflector to its essence so that it can sit back and watch. And you see, when you have this alignment of, you know, seeing the environment correctly and being one with the environment through just focusing on what's important for you, that is, focusing on your motivation rather than focusing on the activations that are around you. You know, this sense that because reflectors are so open that they have to pay undue attention to, you know, the designs of other people that are in their life. Well, yeah, sort of, but it isn't that important to them. Remember that there is a resistance orically for them. You know, what is really important for them? It's just being able to take things in, period. Take the environment in and take it in correctly. You know, it's a digestive process. You know, it's just about breathing it in. If if this being joyfully takes in, you know, as an observer, innocently, its environment, you know, this is perfection. And then you get to see what comes out. You know, you get to see what, you know, this variation on the program leads to, because remember what variations of the program lead to. They lead to all the variety of different forms of life on the planet. I mean, this is the program, you know, operating at its deepest level in a human being. And it means that if you could gather the 100 million reflectors on the planet, you know, you would see the 100 million fingers of God, each and every one of them, this unique expression out of the same program. And then you can catch a glimpse of what's really in the program. I mean, what's really there. Reflectors, you know, in whatever time there is for the movement of evolution and mutation, I don't really think that reflectors are going to ultimately be able to carry the banner of triumph, because I think it's an exceedingly difficult process. I think it takes a great deal of intellectual depth to be able to truly live the reflector experience correctly. Not only must it be your serendipity that such knowledge comes your way, or the benefits of being able to grasp the knowledge and to effectively begin to experience it, but to get to a point of awakening, you know, to get to that place where one's relationship with the whole is complete. I don't think that any other type has such a spiritual potential within them, you know, to form this kind of extraordinary bond with the nature of the world itself. And it is their beauty to be able to express that, and to be able to express that through their lives. They're here to teach us something. You know, they're here to teach us that there are higher relationships. They're here to show us that the program itself is truly the life force, that life is emerging through it. You know, I mean, all of us who are here in our differentiated vehicles with our definition, please understand, you know, that is the general experiment, you know, to be able to work out all these various configurations and see what quality of reflected consciousness we can come up with. And yes, there are roles for each of the types, but most of those roles are, well, they are proactive roles. You know, the builders and the guides, you know, the retiring manifestors and reflectors. Well, they know what's going on. I mean, my assumption is that reflectors will have a deeper connection to the changing of the cycle in 2027 than anyone else, that they will feel it in a way much more profoundly than anyone else. There are signposts. And like the canaries in the mines, every time that you have an awakened reflector, you know, you have a living signpost of what the program is bringing. It's like they're all, in a way, clarions carrying the news. You know, they're carrying the news of what's there. And I don't think that there is, I don't think there's enough time for the potential of such a process to be fulfilled. Because it's enormous. It calls for a greater level of surrender than any of the other types confront. Because along with that surrender is a recognition of an altered relationship with the physical forces around you in your life, with people in your life. And to be able to come to grips with being different in the way in which you will always relate to the other, and the other will relate to you. And in a socially dynamic species, you know, this carries so much pressure and is so time consuming in the life. The demands that, you know, that one bonds and one raises families and you go through all of these roles and all of these things for a reflector, these are not necessarily acceptable. So much of that is cultural conditioning. And cultural conditioning is about the impact of people on us, on each and every one of us. And reflectors are not here to be influenced in that way. And if it's not in the program, they're not here to display it. And the program's changing. You know, it's moving further and further away from what is it has been for these hundreds of years since this cycle began in 1610. And of course, reflectors are deeply aligned to this process. My last comment is really about using the information positively. It's very important that the reflectors that each and every one of you know are reflectors in your life, that this is information that you can pass along to them. And so important for parents of reflector children, so that they have a deeper understanding of the nature of their child, and obviously that changes the nature of their relationship with them. It's so easy for reflectors to be disappointed with life. And it normally is not life at all. They're just disappointed with people. And they're disappointed with people because that is a reflection of the reaction of people who expect something of a reflector that is simply not there. Their beauty has not yet been seen. And they themselves have not yet come to the point where they can truly display that beauty, that essence, to others. But if there is a way to help reflectors in their process, you know, I'm convinced that color knowledge for them and a basic understanding of their aura and its consequences, that these are tools that can make the transformation process for reflectors, well, easier. And like any good mechanical tool, the truth of what it reveals is a byproduct of simply doing the experiment. You know, the longer a reflector is attuned to following its true motivation, slowly but surely the truth of that process will reveal itself in the quality of the reflector's life. And you know, what I care about on the surface in human design is I care about making human beings' lives easier. Easier. And reflectors, they deserve the same ease of life as everyone else. And this is their way. This is a consistent way, you know, to align them to what will work for them.